8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello everybody, how you doing out there in podcast land? I'm so glad to be back to Florida. You know what? No matter where I go in this world, this is where my home is. This is where God put me. And I love the ocean.
Yes, it's amazing.
We got to go see it yesterday, didn't we, Jen?
We did. We fed some seagulls Annie's cheese cracker bunnies.
And you know what? They loved them. So there's a plug for Annie's cheese crackers. If you've never had them, try them.
They're really good.
So what are we doing today? What are we doing today?
We are doing Q&A session because we haven't done one in a while. So
bring it on.
Yep. Bring it on. She is raring to go. Okay. All right. I'm going to start with one that, you know, needs to be answered because it's asked quite a lot. And this one was emailed into us. I don't remember the lady's name, but she wanted to know why when the Bible says women should be silent in the church.
I'm not.
You're not silent in the church. And she also wanted, it's a kind of a two-part question, because mm-hmm. she wanted to know about that, about, you know, the Bible saying women should be silent in the church. And then she wanted to know why your husband isn't giving the revelations. Like, God gives you the revelations, but why aren't you telling him, and then he's speaking it
so he can say it, right?
Exactly.
Because he's a man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so you have the floor. Go
I
ahead.
I have the floor, and I will assure
and
everyone
eat
out
my
there,
chocolate
everyone
ginger.
In podcast land, my husband doesn't want a microphone, and he certainly does not want to share revelation when he hasn't been to heaven. Okay, now let's go back to the first question.
Yes.
Why do I speak in the church when the Bible says women should be silent in the church? Well, that has to do with the culture of the day that scripture was written. And man in church made it a law from something they did not understand.
So it wasn't God that made it a law?
It was not God that made it a law.
Okay.
It actually says in the spirit there is no difference in male and or female in authority.
Yes.
In ability to speak. Even back in the day, they had female prophets.
Yes.
Philip had several of them as his daughters.
And Deborah was a judge.
She was a judge. She would have been king if they'd had female kings back then.
Yep.
So, just so you understand clearly, the reason why that was said in that day was because the women were made to sit in the back of the temple. I had this from an Orthodox Jew that told me this. The women had to sit in the back of the temple with all the children. They were all in the same huge room. And all the men, of course, were down front where they could learn the Torah, be taught the Torah. And so here are their wives way in the back, I mean quite a bit at the back, with all the children running around yelling and playing. Yes, they even did it in that day. And so the wives would yell down front to their husbands, "Jaime, what did he say? I can't hear it.
What was his name?
What did he say? What did they say? I need to know what he's saying." And then over here is another, you know, another one whose child is going rampant. And they can't hear, so these women in the back of the temple keep yelling forward, you know. What did the priest say? We need to know. Can you tell us what he said? And the husbands are like, oh, man, you know what any of them would say. And so the priest, it's ridiculous, isn't it, Chris? You're right. I laugh every time I hear this. But this is the truth. If people knew the culture of those days, even back in Leviticus, if they knew the culture, when it said, do not mark yourself with the marks of the dead, they would call that a tattoo. So they say all tattoos are bad. But in that day, they would mark themselves with the marks of demons or false gods or death itself. And so in Leviticus, you're getting an extra one for free.
I'm like, you just switched topics
here. I don't
here.
Care. I jumped around. They need to know the truth.
She's jumping train tracks here.
Most of these statements made in the Word were about the culture of what was going on in that day. And so that's why it was written, you should not mark yourself with the marks of the dead. In other words, don't put marks on you, tattoos on you, that are images of demons or devils or death. So that's what you're not supposed to mark yourself with. So we'll just throw that in for free. But back to the one about the women shall not speak in the church. They should be silent. Well, I don't know how they thought they could be silent anyway, because they also had to correct their children at the same time. But this whole thing about not hearing what the word was being said, that was that simple. They had so many of them yelling down front to their husbands to let them know what was being said by the priest, that that priest would say, women, be silent. He didn't say be silent in the church. It just happened to be in the temple. Be silent. Please stop yelling to your husbands. Wait till you get home and ask him. But you notice none of the rest of that's put in there. So God was not against women speaking in the church. And he wants me to speak. He assigned me, appointed me. He chose to take me on trips to heaven. I didn't even choose that. I said yes. And my husband would not want to share something he had not heard himself or seen himself. So yep. It's not going to stop. Let it go. And understand that maybe you should find out what the culture of the different days were, or months or years or ages when things were written in the Bible, because it makes a big difference if you have correct understanding. So it's all okay with God. Even the pink hair. There you go. What is the next one?
Awesome. Okay. This one is also one that you addressed. Well, it's sort of one you've addressed before. This one is about pets in heaven. It's a Facebook question. It's from Janie. And she said, I know you have mentioned pets going to heaven, but I want to know about all animals that do not have anyone, that are not someone's pet, such as stray cats and dogs and other animals, and especially if they're treated unkind while here on earth, do they go to heaven?
Well, I want to say this first. God does not like any creature or human being abused.
Yeah, that's right.
It's wrong. In God's eyes, it is wrong to abuse anything. So if you wonder what he did think about that, he doesn't like it. He understands that certain animals were made to feed people, and there is a humane way for those that are created for that, that are created to feed people. In heaven, you don't have to worry about any of that. Anyway, I'll throw that in there for free. But he does choose. I know specifically that your pets go to heaven. And I'm going to go back into Genesis. How far back am I taking this thing? Because some people say, why would he care? Why would he care about the animals? What do they mean to him? Well, he created them before man. He had those on the earth before man
That's
was
right.
created.
And how many were on the ark?
And how many were on the ark? That's what I'm going to tell people. How many people did God say go on the ark? And how many creatures or animals did he put on the ark? Many, many, many more animals were rescued and kept from harm than there were mankind. And God said, well, the animals had not abused me. They had not attacked me. They had not defiled things. And so they were innocent and all of that.
Yep.
He wanted them to be on the earth. And he cares very much. And by the way, back again in Genesis, I'm going to mention this, that when Noah put the animals on the ark, God literally said to Noah, put every animal that has a spirit of life in them on the ark. Because, you know, like flies and gnats, and they don't have spirits of life. By the way, that is a spiritual body. That is their spiritual body. So God told Noah, put all the animals on the ark that have a spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you realize this or not, and when your own pet dies, their spiritual body steps out of them just like our own body does. And your own guardian angel takes your pets to heaven. Their spiritual bodies go to heaven. It's still them. They're very well aware of what's in heaven. They recognize your family members in heaven. They'll be waiting at your mansion. And God does it because we love them, but he loves them also. And just as a tip, so you know this, if you ever see a dead animal on the road, and you say, oh, you poor little thing, you just claimed it on your mansion. Unless you send it to another family's mansion, which we do to our brother RJ, because he does not like possums and armadillos. So if we ever see a dead one in the road, we ask God, send it to RJ's mansion.
Yep.
So when he gets there, he'll have so many new friends waiting on him.
Mom gets all the raccoons.
All the raccoons and the squirrels go to my mom's mansion, and the turtles go to my daughter's mansion.
Yep.
The dead ones, you know, in the road. And so God does have a sense of humor, but he cares very much about what he made on this earth. He literally cares about the earth also. But you can't, of course, say that he cares more for your pet than your family members. So make sure you're praying for their salvation. But you know when the word says, preach the gospel to every creature. We aren't creatures. The animals are the creatures. So why not preach it to your pet? Maybe they need some of Jesus Christ. There you go. There's my answer.
Okay, awesome. And I think our podcast producer has a voice question.
Yeah, we have a friend from the cruise named Chastity, and she sent a small voice
recording.
Question.
So live from the phone, here it is.
Hi, my name's Chastity, and I'm 37 from Trevorton, Pennsylvania. And I just wanted to ask, I've heard before that fairies were evil, and I wanted to know if that was true, if they were demonic. And also, like, what does God say about the Bibles that have verses taken out of them? Is it appropriate to throw them away, or what would he have us do with them?
So those are two questions. Actually, yes. The first one is, are fairies evil? Because she's always heard that fairies were evil. I think Tinkerbell's pretty nice, though, myself.
I know.
Don't you?
I love Tinkerbell.
However, the other question is, what about Bibles you have that you know whole verses, actually sometimes chapters, are taken out of the Bible? And my answer to her was, don't keep that Bible. Because it says literally it is wrong to remove parts of the Bible.
Or
it's
change
actually
it.
A curse on you. People who do that, if you add to the Bible.
Or take from it.
Or you take from it. So I would say, if you know whole verses have been taken out of the Bible, get rid of it. Don't keep it. And don't donate it to somebody, because you're gonna cause them to have misunderstanding or even deception.
Yeah.
Many Bibles are written today in the newer translations, not every one of them, and I can't list all of them, but some of them are written literally to bring you into deception. Some of them are written to prove that everyone can go to heaven without Jesus Christ, or that the whole world is going to heaven, because God loves him so much he's even going to forgive Satan. That'll never happen. He's not forgiving Satan. He's not going to forgive the fallen demons. He's not doing that. And the entire world, unfortunately, is not going to heaven, because if they went without Jesus Christ, their wickedness and all their evil would be in heaven. And God said that heaven would be just like the earth. And nobody wants that. Back to the first question. There are very tiny, small angels. I've seen them that could actually stand in your hand. They take care of all the flowers, the beautiful flowers. They take care of them and tend the flowers. And I would say they literally look like someone like Tinkerbell or something like that. And I think, so it's not the images of them that's bad. It's Satan taking something that God already has in heaven. He twists it. He puts it in the evil movie or something, or makes it look evil. Games,
yeah.
Video games or whatever. So in their self, these small, tiny little beings that are beautiful, they're very pretty, very beautiful, they are not evil.
And aren't there ones that also live in the waterfalls? Or
there are some that actually tend. These are not little tiny ones, though. They actually have some angels assigned to take care of all the waterfalls and the brooks. And they're made out of green light. They literally sparkle like Tinkerbell.
Aww.
And they have beautiful sparkles. The first time I saw one, I was amazed. She stepped out of the waterfall and began to sing the most beautiful song. It was a worship song to Jesus, but her voice was amazing. And it brought such peace to you and beauty and wonder. So there's all types of beings in heaven. And you do realize that Satan lived there. Lucifer lived there.
Yeah.
He knows all the images of the beings and stuff that is there. He wants to take them all and twist them and use them as his own image. And so you can't always go by what everyone out there says, okay? So I would not say necessarily what you would call a fairy. Or you do realize the word fairies, spelled backwards, is seraph. You remember, there are things called seraphims. Their hair is filled with blue light. It looks like it's made out of blue light. They live in the glory cloud over the throne. And I thought that was kind of strange the first time the Holy Spirit showed me that the word fairies, if you spell it backwards, spells seraph. And there are seraphs in heaven. They're a type of beautiful angel that sings and worships God over the throne. So you can't always go by those type of things. Now, anything that looks like a demon, those are demons, those are bad. Okay, you shouldn't have any problem understanding that. Anything that portrays itself as evil or bad, witchcraft is all bad. You're getting all these for free because so many people misunderstand. You shouldn't be watching or listening to or reading Harry Potter. That's real witchcraft. Even the author admits that. And putting spells on things. And now they sell spell kits and all kinds of evil things to go with that. That type of stuff is bad. Don't have anything to do with witchcraft. So there's a free tip with you, okay?
I have a bit of a lead-on question from
that. Go ahead.
Have you, you know, in the earthly realm, in the spirit realm, have you seen many of those kind of things within... I tell you what this reminds me of. You said that Jen has a special kind of angel assigned to her. That's, or you've seen something, Jen?
Like yeah.
Something.
Oh,
yeah. It was like a small...
Yeah, I have a...
They can look like
I'm thinking of small things that may be interacting with us, which is kind of a weird subject and it sounds a bit out there. But.
Yeah, since I've been working on the kids' book, I've had, I think you said, three other angels assigned to me. I've only seen one, and it was very briefly, and it was when I had laid down to go to bed, and I woke up and turned my head and looked, and laying across my arm was this blue, fuzzy-looking thing with big eyes that looked like green gemstones, and it just was smiling at me while I was sleeping. I didn't have any fear or anything. I knew...
What was that?
That it was... It was okay.
It was an angel, but they're one of the ones that look like creatures. Some of the angels look like
he's
humans,
really cute.
Like, and some are like creatures. And I also even know that one of my other grandchildren has one that looks like a little creature that helps him with his art. In other words, he may speak to him, he may not see him, but he speaks to him and encourages him about art, different types of art, how to blend colors and stuff, and he's done that since he was a very little boy. So yes, you can't expect every angel to look like what you see on a postcard or
a
painting.
So it was like a caterpillar then, in a weird kind of way.
Well, it was a, no, he was
like
more
like a Muppet character.
I was going to say, like a Muppet character?
Yeah,
yes,
he was
definitely.
Like a Muppet character. He was just so cute.
Real furry and blue.
Yeah, he had blue fur
and
then the
green
big
eyes.
Green eyes that look like green gemstones.
I'm positive that he is there to help her with her children's book
because
I don't think he came before that all happened. And so when you're given different assignments by God, especially if you're creative, you could have other little creature angels that help you even though you don't see them. They could whisper inspirations to you or even little ideas to you. It's never going to be bad or evil or anything, but I do know other people that have them. And so that was the creature angel. That's what it was. And he was sent here to help you with your children's book.
That's awesome.
What I'd ask. I like to go
that was
to,
good.
I like to go
good.
To areas of questions people don't normally ask.
But that kind of brings up, kind of ties into the next question. It's one that you've also answered before. But for anyone that's new to the podcast, if you could kind of just like touch bases if someone had a question they wanted to know. Do aborted or miscarried babies go to heaven? If they do, what are they doing there? How are they living? Do they? Can they talk? You know, can they walk? Because, you know, they're little.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. All babies, whether aborted, miscarried, or they just died real early, every single one of them are in heaven. There's actually a religion that believes that they go to hell.
Oh.
That is, I'm not going to name the religion. Absolutely, they believe that, and it's not true at all.
No,
there are no
horrible.
Young children in hell, none whatsoever. All of the babies, both aborted or miscarried, they all go to heaven. And if the parents repent for doing that or being involved in it, when they get to heaven, they get the very baby that they rejected. That exact same baby that God has. He knows where it is. Beautiful places that they're kept. They play, they laugh, they sing, they dance. Even if they're like 3 inches high, they still have all the understanding of someone who's grown. They don't have to learn how to walk or talk or sing because their little spiritual body
is
more
perfect,
advanced. Yeah. Than the physical body, the little baby body that hasn't finished forming, their little spirit baby is.
It's fully developed,
It's fully developed. They sing, they play, they laugh. They ride in the kangaroo's pockets around heaven. They
slide down
real rainbows.
Yep.
They have baby play ponds where they can swim under the water, ride on the fish. God has made these beautiful places for all these little babies. And like I said, most parents who miscarried, that means it wasn't intended. They didn't want that to happen. Really believe their babies are in heaven, and they name them. It's really important to name your baby that's gone to heaven. You can pick a name that was
if
you knew what it was, then you pick appropriate name for that. And God sends for the baby in the nursery, holds it on his lap, and he says, your mom or your dad or grandmother, whichever one cared to name it, has named you, and this is your name now for aww, all eternity. And they have a party for the baby. And so, yes, there's a lot of exciting things they get to do. They do know who their parents are. They love their parents. They forgive their parents if they're involved in an abortion-type situation. And I also do understand that some mothers didn't want to have that. It was actually forced upon them. So we can't automatically say every mother wanted their baby aborted. Lots of times if they're young, it's just forced for them to have it so that their life won't be ruined, they think. But that baby is kept by God. Jesus actually meets with all the aborted babies first. Their own guardian angel that was sent when they were sent from heaven. Their guardian angel waits outside the mother for the baby to be born. So if it doesn't make it all the way through, they, their own angels, take them to heaven.
Aww.
That's a two little things on that that comes into my mind. There's a big... in society, you know, there's this whole thing about when does life start, right? I mean, as a Christian, it's always like, well, obviously it's when you're in conception, but it is, isn't it?
It so it's is, like, and at the time Christians of conception, absolutely.
Want to vote Democratic and, like, push through laws which should basically mean that it's legal to do
murder
abortions.
Them.
And they kind of excuse
I'm actually going to call it murder, that's what it is.
Yeah. They excuse it away in their brains, but coming from you, like, first-hand experience of experiencing all this, there is no justification, really.
There is,
you know,
no
there
justification.
Is no, life God, starts then.
God actually says it would be better if a millstone, which is huge. They used millstones back in the day to crush the wheat and the other stuff. It's a massive, big stone. God said when they die, when these people who murder babies die, it would be better to have had a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea than to what he's going to do, what will happen to them when they go to hell. Woo. So you cannot murder babies. There's no excuse. There's no acceptance for that in heaven whatsoever. It is called murder. God loves the babies, and he sent them from himself. He sent their little spiritual body from heaven, and at the time of conception, they knit and attach that little baby spirit to that dot of flesh.
And
that is when life begins. And
even,
they have found out
now.
Yeah,
I was going to say that. Even scientists
have found out that at the time of conception, there is a flash of light. Yep. And they don't know what that flash of light is. That is the exact second that the Holy Spirit is attaching the little baby spirit to that little baby dot of flesh. And when that happens, I already knew that because your spirit body, your little spirit body is made out of light. So when God attached, he says, I knit you together in your mother's womb, that meant he took you from himself. Holy Spirit brought you down at the time of conception. And they literally attached that little spirit baby body to that dot of flesh. And that's where the flash of light comes from. So even science is finding out things. So yes, life begins at conception. And that is a real life. It's a real baby growing inside the mother all those months until at the end when the birth happens and heaven celebrates because a new life has been brought to the earth from heaven, and they all have a destiny.
They all do. And the enemy knows that, and that's why he's trying to wipe
them
out.
Well, every time God's going to do something new in the earth, there's always an increase in abortions. There's always an increase in the death of babies because God sends specific ones down at certain times to be great leaders in the body of Christ, like or big prophets or something like that. And the enemy knows when God's starting to do something, all the birth rate begins to increase, and so it terrifies him.
Yep.
And he did that several times in the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when... Moses had to be rescued, right?
Yeah.
In the bulrushes, remember that?
Yep.
Pharaoh was killing all the babies then.
Even when
so
Jesus
Moses
was born.
Who God needed Moses in the earth. So Pharaoh's own, I don't remember if it was his sister or wife or somebody, had Moses rescued. His baby was rescued and his life was kept.
It was his wife.
His life was kept for the whole purpose of what he needed him in the earth for. And so, but that's why so many babies at that time, they know in history that that happened, they were killed. At the time of Christ being born, the same thing was happening.
Yep.
That Herod. Edict was given out at that time to kill all the babies that were being born. So the Messiah could not be born because his star was seen, remember, in the heavens. And so that edict went out, and many babies at that time, but of course we all know Christ was kept and protected. So this is how special God loves every one of them. And he treats them so precious when they do come to heaven. So it's not a good thing for them to die, but it is a wonderful thing for them to be in heaven. So you don't ever have to worry about them not being
there. So let me ask you something, Kat. So what I think, I just ask you to answer this, and then we can always take this part and put it on a YouTube video on its own or whatever. But say there's some friends of friends that are listening to this, and they're younger girls that have got themselves into a situation, and they're kind of weighing up that thing about, you know, shall I have an abortion and all that. What would you say to those people in that life circumstance? What is it that you think they need to focus on, you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff about understanding them, whether it's a life, because they're probably young, they feel that their body's exactly the same, this wouldn't be a big deal if they just kind of stopped the pregnancy. Just a thought about that. They could share it with their friends, you know?
I would say whoever is listening to this, and if you know someone who's in that situation, let's say it's in a situation where they're afraid they can't take care of it, they won't be able to be a proper mother to it or whatever, I would say definitely have the baby and let it get adopted by somebody. Yeah. Because people are waiting by the hundreds and thousands to have a little baby, those who can't have babies and desperately want one. You'll be saving a life that God sent to the earth. And let someone else have that baby and raise that baby that will love it as its own. And, you know, that takes away, if you just don't care about it whatsoever. I don't want to be messed with this. There are places that will help you to pay for your doctor bills, to help you be in a place where you can be cared for. And again, give that baby up for adoption so that it has a chance to live. Their lives are important to God, just like yours was. Someone gave you a chance to live. And so I'd encourage you, whatever you have to do to make sure that baby has a chance to live, it will take you a few months just to carry that baby, but the fact that you have given it life, and if you make it to heaven one day and that baby makes it to heaven as a grown-up, they will literally know when they get to heaven you gave them a chance to have a life, and you won't ever regret it.
Super cool. I have another question of these kind of bigger things like this. A friend of mine called Nikki, her father passed away recently, and her basic question was, and I know you've answered this before, but a lot of people ask it, is can the people, he was a minister and stuff, that go to heaven, can they see you on the earth? Like, can they see what's going on now, you know, in their life generally?
Yes, they can. It talks about in Hebrews 12:1 that there's a great cloud of witnesses watching us from heaven. That would be your loved ones, the prophets, you know, the apostles, anyone who's made it into heaven. They have the ability to see the earth, and there's even a place God designed for them to go to. It's called a portal, but it's a building, it's a structure, and several thousand people can go in here. They walk up these beautiful stairs, they look down over the earth, and they see you as close as the ceiling of your home. Now, they don't see every horrible, bad thing you're experiencing. They see the times where you're strong in your faith, especially if you're helping people, loving people, you're choosing the right thing that God has for you, and not necessarily the easiest way out. But they see every important day in your life, when you get married, when you have babies, when you get promotions, all those kinds of things. They don't miss any of them, but especially on your birthday. Let's say you have parents in heaven, or you have siblings in heaven, or grandparents in heaven. Every day on your birthday on the earth, they go to these places called the portal. They lean over and sing happy birthday to you. I know you can't hear them, but lots of times you'll feel a rush of the peace of God, the presence of God. They're up there declaring over you, especially if you don't know Jesus Christ. They'll stand there and declare over you, Father, I declare that my family member will become a mighty child of God. They will be free in Jesus' name. They'll be the living testimony of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Literally, that is what they say over all the family members that don't know Christ. And those that do, they will all the time ask Jesus to bless them, to help them in different ways. If they know Christ has something to give them, something major, maybe it's a new commission for him, maybe it's some kind of a promotion or just a blessing, financial blessing, they will follow him around heaven and they'll say, are you going to give it to them yet? Are you going to let them have it yet? Because they're excited that they know, they do know good things that are coming in your life. And so they're up there declaring over you. But yes, they don't ever forget you. They love you more in heaven. And this is another good thing. Even if they weren't that nice to you, or maybe you didn't have a really strong relationship, you can when you get to heaven.
Yeah.
They'll still, you remember they were your family member, you live right near them, and they will love you like Christ loves you.
So all the issues will be dealt with, will they? Because I know there's a lot of issues between people, not this circumstance, I don't know anything about it, but with people, their relationships, and...
Yes, they didn't always have the best relationship. Maybe they got angry a lot, maybe they fought a lot and didn't really mean
it. Didn't speak for years.
Yeah, didn't speak for years. I want to promise you, if your family member's in heaven, they're not walking around heaven thinking they didn't even say they're sorry. I mean, they don't care about that.
They don't care about any of it.
They don't think about that. They're so filled with joy and life and love, and they've already probably seen your mansion that's being built. They put gifts for you in your mansion, so you can't think that this is the way it was, this is the way it's always going to be. If they made it heaven, they don't even think or talk like that anymore. They would want you to know, I love you forever. I can't wait to see you again.
Yeah.
They're not thinking about any bad thing that you said or even what they said to you. It's already all forgiven. They want you to run your race and be happy while you do it.
Yeah. And I know you shared sometimes before that a lot of times you know when you know your loved ones are at the portal when, like, you either, like you said, you feel peace or joy.
Or smell their favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes
food.
You smell something that reminds mm-hmm. you of them, whether it's your father's cologne or if your mother baked brownies for you or something. Or
you smell brownies off and on, yeah, there's no evidence of it being there. That's probably her watching you.
Yeah, that's just God's way of letting you know that they're there.
They're watching over you.
And you can look up and wave.
Yeah, that's perfectly
and
okay.
Say hi.
That is not ancestor worship of looking up and waving and say hi.
Just if you're going to do it in the supermarket, you might just want to be prepared for a few tomatoes to be thrown at you. And it might not
Well, I will say this.
Oh, yeah, they can.
Let me say this.
They can throw things down.
If your grandma is watching your life and you've been living not good.
Oh.
She would like to take a hickory stick to you, I'm sure. If she could come down lovingly, she would love to do that because you were taught better and you know better. And so she would say, get a life, get Jesus, and run your race because, yes.
Straighten up.
I know what you are doing. And you know what I would do if I was down there. So I will say that kind of does go on. So you better be straightening up because she's praying you in. She's still praying for you. And you better just roll over and give up because Jesus is going to get you. That's what I'll say to you.
I feel like sometimes, you know, with these kinds of things, people are okay. You know, if you talk about the Bible and you talk about Jesus dying and getting rose from the dead, it's like, it's okay. I can understand that. But as soon as you start stepping over to this reality that, you know, your family line is up there cheering you on and that they occasionally turn up, sometimes people's hearts, it's like they just need to sort of click the switch a little bit and just believe just a little mm-hmm. bit. Give it the benefit of the doubt that, you know, God is that good that he would send people back.
He really is.
Do not forget, not one little thing ever goes missing in any way.
If he has written you on his hand, his own hand, this is God, the creator of everything. If he knows every hair of your head, if he has great plans for you, the Bible says he does, if he loves you that much, how much should the people love that are living in that love? So yes, they do care, and God does care. And don't sit here and think you're all by yourself. Just think, this is like a vapor or a breath, our life here. If you live to be 100, now they're saying it could be 120. I'm planning to be here for quite a long time until God's done with me. I'm not planning on dying because that's just a waste of time. I'm planning on living, and I'm living the way he wants me to. And then you get to do powerful things for him. And you don't have to qualify by being highly educated, although there's nothing wrong with education. You just have to be willing, obedient, and have Jesus Christ in your life. And you will realize when you get to heaven, every time you help somebody on the earth, you gave them a smile, you gave them something to help, whether it was money or food. Do you know that God takes gemstones from himself and he puts them on your robe? when you get to heaven, you have a gown and a robe. Remember that? The gown of salvation and the robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness is filled with gemstones all over that came from God. So he hasn't forgotten any kind act or word you gave to other people. Even if no one else notices, he knows it. And he wants you to know he is grateful that you are loving people for him.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Does anybody have any more questions?
No, I think that's good for now.
Well, there is food up there. I'm going to throw that in there for free. Because
what is that smell in the background?
When I travel, and no matter where I travel, I always get that question asked. Well, we eat food in heaven. And I remind them there is an event called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Now, usually you would say there's a wedding and there's a reception, but he makes a big point of the supper. So you know when you have supper, that's like your appetizer, your main course, and of course the dessert. So they have fantastic, amazing tables for miles everywhere that are going to be part of that Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And even while you're in heaven, you can eat whatever you want to. All the food's made out of light. No weight gain, no food allergies, no gluten. You know, they don't worry about gluten in the food. They don't worry about too much sugar in the food. It's your spiritual body, but that spiritual body still likes to eat. And I remind you of Abraham's bosom. Remember that about the dream where the rich man in hell asked the beggar, who used to be a beggar, he was in Abraham's bosom where God kept the righteous until his son died. They had feasts going. They were eating. They had tables with feasts on them. So even in the spirit, you're going to eat. And it will be amazing.
That's awesome.
Okay, abstract weird question. Just a quick one. Have you ever seen anybody eat any of that food in the earth realm that came from heaven?
I have.
What happened? Have we got time for that? Because that's completely fascinating to me.
I have. Actually, well, the food that I ate, now while I was in heaven.
Right. Oh, okay. So
when I was visiting heaven, I did have heaven's food down here on the earth. I had angels' food.
Well, okay, what was that?
Be like manna?
Because I've not heard that.
It was manna. It even calls manna.
Where did it come from?
Heard this yet.
Where were you?
Heaven made it for me.
But where were you when it happened?
Well, I've had some before where I was out somewhere. I just had some on my hand up here. And I was in a church where people had it come in the church. And they collected it on little trays. And I knew what it was like and I knew what it tasted like because I had also had that in heaven. I've had manna. I've also had heaven's wine in heaven and on the earth. And there are places and certain people that God has blessed them with, and they have like a carafe, and heaven fills the wine up all the time as they give it out.
And what's the difference?
It fills back up.
What's the difference between
heaven's
wine and earthly wine?
There's no alcoholic anything because nothing ferments, nothing ages, including your bodies in heaven. And nothing ferments, nothing ages, so there is no what you would call beer like on the earth or alcohol. There's none of that in heaven. But I will tell you what, the wine of the Spirit, and it is made in heaven. They don't age it in the vats, but they fill vats, and Holy Spirit invades every vat, and you go just about as wild as you can get. You can't stop laughing. You roll in the streets of gold, and that heaven's wine does the same thing to you down here on the earth. By the way, Jesus didn't just make the water into wine, earth's wine. He made the water into heaven's wine while he was on this earth.
So when people are rolling around in churches and stuff like happened in Pensacola and Toronto and everything, that was a kind of the wine.
It was the reaction of having the Holy Spirit. So if this is the third member of the Trinity who can come and live in you, and you become his dwelling place, if he can cause you to react like that, laughing and just being silly crazy, then the wine that he invades, he actually passes through all the vats because he's a spiritual being, that is released into all those vats in heaven. And that is heaven's wine, and that's exactly how you react in heaven when you drink it. There's nothing better to drink
in
heaven.
And for those of you...
How can we get our hands on that?
For those
of
you that don't...
Well, pray, ask God to give you a vat that he fills up all the time.
How did you get hands on it on the earth? What happened that day?
I was actually in a church in Tampa.
Okay.
And someone who God would send that to him on a regular basis, I just happened to be there speaking, and they brought both. They had the manna on a tray, and manna is not big, huge pieces. This is why it took them quite a while to collect it. It looks sort of like between a small tiny biscuit or a cracker, the way it feels, the texture. And
almost like the oyster crackers, but smaller.
I would say similar. Some pieces would be the size of an oyster cracker. Some could be smaller. And so when they went out, you know, in the wilderness, when they were going to the wilderness, right?
Yeah.
They would go pick that up every day, except they wouldn't do it on the Sabbath. They could not go harvest. It wouldn't even come on the Sabbath. So they had to pick up double portions the day before the Sabbath when they were all going through the wilderness for that 4 years. One of the things he fed them was manna from heaven, and it's called angel's food. And they would have to collect it, and I would think, why would I have to take it? I would think it would be the size of a biscuit, but it wasn't as small pieces. And so this person came to the church in Tampa, and they were serving communion, and they used the real manna, they used heaven's wine, and I can tell you that was both were actually really from heaven, because I've had it in heaven before. I also have had in heaven pizza and ice cream, which are two of my favorite things. And when the first time she caught me up to heaven, I went to Pizza Joe's. It's mm-hmm. a real pizza parlor in heaven. The pizzas are the size of the tables, these round tables. The pizzas are that huge. And you turn the table around by all your friends and get their own slice of pizza, which is probably about 2 feet long. And then next door to that is the ice cream parlor, Heavenly Ice Cream. And it's got huge, the scoops are huge. It probably may be the size of, I don't know, a softball. Each that's scoop's big. About the size. And this is the cool thing about heaven. You get to name things and create things because God likes to name everything. In that ice cream parlor, you can create a whole new kind of ice cream, and you put it up there on the board so everybody can have it. And it's whatever you really love, and people will come and taste the ice cream you created.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
So our Q&A session is always extended because it always takes us into a whole new question to answer.
Well, really quick, I want to mention back to the Heaven's Wine, because I know you've talked about this before too, is that there are pubs in heaven.
Yes.
But what does that stand for?
The word pubs in heaven means people under best divine saturation. It's not earthly drink at all. It is heavens. Heavens. Created in heaven for people who live in heaven.
But saturated, I always tell people, saturated with the Holy Spirit.
Saturated with the Holy Spirit. People laugh so hard they fall on the street, and if you walk over them, you fall out too, because that laughter will get on you. Laughter is another thing that's all over heaven.
Yep.
They celebrate. They don't have funerals, by the way, when you come home. They have a big party.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, I think our Q&A session's done. We did want to mention we have a new product that's on the way. We told you guys
it's
about...
It's in the mail to us.
Yeah. We told you guys about
it's the... It's in the mail.
Is that British?
That's real, though. That's for real.
We told y'all about the I Don't Do Demons buttons.
Yeah, it's a button.
So we decide, what did we have made with them?
I call it a bumper magnet, but that's not what you guys call it.
Car magnet.
It's a car magnet. It's a good size car magnet, 5 inches by 6 inches, something like that.
Yeah.
And you can clearly see on that car magnet, make sure you take it off the car before you take it through a car wash.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we've had ours on like a year, some of them, and the color has not faded. They still stay on the car. And it says, roll up your rapture rug and rule.
We already have those.
I forgot. We have those. By the way, we have that already.
We do.
Roll up your after rug and rule, but we have the new one says, I don't do demons.
With a big lightning bolt.
With a big lightning bolt on it to remind the enemy, which is Satan, that he was kicked out of heaven on that lightning bolt, and so were all the fallen angels.
They're not on the website yet, but you can call our office.
They will be on there soon.
Order them over the phone.
And we also just today bought something else with that same thing.
We got cup cozies.
Really awesome cup cozies, and they're white.
They're for water bottles, right?
Water bottles or cans.
I think they fit almost any of them.
To keep your drink cool.
And you can also use it to keep your drinks hot.
That's right.
I tell people all the time. Too. Yeah.
I don't even think about that.
Yeah,
you can put it on your cup and put it inside.
Well, if God gives us a vat of it, we'll let everybody know. But so far, He's not done that with us. But But we do have a Don't Do Demons is something that the Father wanted made to make a statement for the first time in the body of Christ, regardless of your denomination. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you need to have one of these things that says, I don't do demons. I've already worn mine. And the first time I wore it in the grocery store, there was a stir. We ended up having a meeting in the grocery store, in the restaurants, in the airport. It didn't matter where we were. People wanted to know. What they were almost afraid to ask, what does that mean? That means I don't do demons, I torment them, that's what I do. And so it opens up a lot of conversations for you. And any member of the body of Christ should have no problem wearing that saying, I don't do demons. That's and now right. we have the buttons, right? We have the cup code.
Okay. Even though there was no bonus at the end of Marvel Endgame's movie, we here at One Quest are giving you a bonus phone-in question. So, here you go, guys.
Kat, have you ever been to the strategy room, the war room in heaven, and what have you seen?
Was that the whole question?
Yeah, that was the whole question.
Okay, yes, I actually have been to the strategy room in heaven, the war room in heaven, absolutely. And I'll talk about that in a second, but you actually can create one in your own home, a war room. That connects to heaven. What goes in there that I've seen is believers who've gone to heaven that were warring intercessors actually can go into the war room. They can pick a weapon that's a spiritual weapon in that war room, and they can war on behalf of people or situations on the earth using the weapon that they chose in the war room. And then there, God takes them to a place for them to use that weapon. It's really wild. I don't think I've ever talked about it before, so that was a great question. But there is a war room in heaven, and it's usually believers who are living in heaven at the time that go in there to that war room. They have many different weapons, like on the wall. Some are very strange looking, and they choose one and begin to war in the spirit. He'll take them to a place, show them something on the earth that's going on, and they war in the spirit, not on the earth, but up in heaven on behalf of that. And then when it's resolved, they actually get to see it being resolved. The issue is resolved, and they stop warring.
Okay, what'd you think of that, wow. Sheila?
Very cool, very cool. Thank you so much.